Kellogg, Brother and Sister, H.W. Crystal Springs, St. Helena, California. November 11, 1900. Dear Brother and Sister Kellogg, I have received Brother Kellogg's letter. I thank you sincerely, my brother, for the part you have acted with regard to the Gospel Primer. Notwithstanding that my position in Australia has been one of hard labor, I have laid out my money here and there to start the work and do as God commanded me. He said, "Annex new territory, lift up the standard, leave memorials for me in every place where the tabernacle has been pitched and the truth proclaimed. There is a large work to be done, and we must strive to secure the conversion of souls to the truth, that the work in different lines may be carried forward. While in Australia, I told Edson to draw money from the office to the amount of several hundred dollars, because I knew the need of the southern field. But at the same time, I knew that there were at least 10 places in Australia where I could have invested that same money for the advancement of the work. The Lord has blessed our labors, and the work is being established nigh and afar off. It was a great trial for me to leave Australia. I battled with myself for months, and then I opened my mind to W.C. White saying that I should have to sell out and go to America. I love the work in Australia. The cause of God there is a part of me, and I have left $2,000 there for the workers to use in their great necessity. I really need that money now. W.C. White must build a house near mine for his family, for he is to help me in the work. No one can help me as he can, but in Australia they kept him in office so constantly that I had but a jot and tittle of his services. I greatly desired that Edson should unite with me in the great work God has given me to do, but he is wedded to the southern field, and I will not draw him away from it. I thank the Lord that he has opened many things to my mind. Those whom God calls to engage in his work are not all molded alike in character. In nature, the Creator has not made two leaves alike. The heavenly angels are not exactly alike in their qualifications and ministry, and no two human minds are precisely alike. The Word of God calls for complete unity in diversity, that every emergency in every kind of labor may be met. Truth speaks its own language through a diversity of gifts. The divine work is carried on by and through a diversity of gifts, all essential and all working to one end: the expression of that mind and will of God through the perfection of the saints. Thank the Lord that we are not all made in the same mold. God works through different minds, different elements of character, for the perfection of his church. The great Apostle Paul speaks of the varied work of varied individuals. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling: one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, "When he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive, and gave gifts unto men." Ephesians 4, verse 1-8. "And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men, and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. From whom the whole body, fitly joined together, and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Verses 11 to 16. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness and covetousness, let it not once be named among you, as becometh saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which is not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. Ephesians 5, verse 1 to 4. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Ephesians 6, verse 11 to 13. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Verses 14 to 18. This is practical medical missionary work. It is of a character which testifies to the sanctifying power of the truth upon human minds. November 12th. Elder Daniels and Dr. Kellogg arrived here yesterday. As yet, I have had only a few words of conversation with the doctor. He will come here today that we may have an interview together. May the Lord's presence be with us, is my prayer. I have not been able to sleep for several nights. Going to Oakland and from there to San Francisco is a most wearisome journey. There are so many changes and so much hurry and bustle. At my age, it tires me. But this will soon be over. Soon the work will close up for time and for eternity. Last Sabbath, I had great freedom in speaking to the San Francisco church. About 400 people crowded into the church. Extra chairs were brought, and yet the people could not find seats. Women and children were seated on the platform. The Lord gave me special victory as I spoke from the third chapter of 1 John. The people listened with great earnestness and seemed to drink in the words of life. After I had finished speaking, Elder Corliss, seeing that the people were deeply moved, asked all who desired to give themselves to the Lord to come forward. More than 100 responded. Elder Corliss's son and his wife came forward, and this almost overcame the father. The Spirit of God was in the meeting, and his power was felt. We knew that Christ and the angels were with us. At the close, the voices of all in that large congregation pealed forth in singing the doxology, and we know that God and the angels rejoiced. We feel that the instruction contained in the 14th chapter of Hosea is present truth. The time has come for all who know the truth to close up the ranks. please read the 11th chapter of Hosea. It is applicable for this time. Brother and Sister Kellogg, you have long known the truth. May the Lord in these last days give you both a precious and valuable experience, that you may understand the joy of the Lord. I see that a great work must be done in this country, as well as in Australia. Now is the time for us to work, using the Lord's money to establish memorials for Him in new places. I know that the workers in Australia need every cent of the $2,000 I have left there, that they may make aggressive warfare. And I know also that aggressive work must be done in this country. At times, I am tempted to call in the means I left in Australia, but I dare not do this. If you know of anyone who could help me to share the burden of the work in Australia, please tell them that the Lord's money is needed in that missionary field. I am trying to do all in my power to advance the work in Australia. Brother Kellogg, if you can interest any to help us in Australia, please do so, and relieve me of the $2,000 I have consented to let them use. We have a large work to do in Australia, a great work, and the Lord is going before His people as they lift the standard and proclaim the truth for this time. If you know of any who can help us, please influence them to do this. For discouragement must not come upon the workers in the cause of God. Sing and rejoice, O daughter of Zion, for lo, I come, and I will dwell in the midst of thee, saith the Lord. And many nations shall be joined to the Lord in that day, and shall be my people, and I will dwell in the midst of thee. And thou shalt know that the Lord of hosts hath sent me unto thee. And the Lord shall inherit Judah his portion in the Holy Land, and shall choose Jerusalem again. Be silent, all flesh, before the Lord, for he is raised up out of his holy habitation. Zechariah 2, verse 10 to 13. The sanitarium in Australia is greatly needed, and may the Lord help his people here to help us, is my prayer. For Australia is the field of my labor. And although I am in America, I shall plead for Australia. The fields are opening and extending, and the warning must be given.
It is now 5:30 a.m. I could not sleep after 1 o'clock, so I rose and commenced my work. It is not yet daylight. Willie has just come in to tell me that Dr. Kellogg can only stay with us today. He has asked Brother Burden, Brother Daniels, and Dr. Kellogg to take breakfast with us this morning, so I must close my letter. In love.